I'm DJ Nata, and we're here with Tomas Moniz, entering this new year, talking a little bit about care work, a kind of neglected aspect of political organizing and sort of political spaces in general. So we wanted to start off this year focusing on that aspect and introducing a project that we recently came across called Rad Dad. And so I'd like to thank you, Tomas, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Just wanted to start off with a few questions. Maybe you can start off by telling us a little bit of the story behind Rad Dad.
Well, the story is basically I was looking for community, and I was struggling with my 13-year-old son at the time, dealing with drugs, discovering pornography. Yeah. And really, when I did some research out in the kind of world, the mainstream media, looking for, you know, how do we talk to our kids about these things? How do I lean on my friends or my the adults around us to kind of get that support? And there was not a lot out there. Yeah. And what was out there was very much kind of about discipline. Right. And the representations of families were very, you know, white, middle class, partnered, married. And that wasn't my situation. And so I was kind of like, there's got to be other people out there dealing with this kind of stuff. And so that was the birth of Rad Dad. I put the call out and got a lot of people sending responses in. It was like immediately, like there was just like a wave of like, oh, wow, yes, let's talk about this stuff.
Yeah. What year was that?
About 7 years ago now.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
Yeah. And there's been a zine since then. So maybe we can talk about that a little bit, about the zine. Because it seems like, I mean, from the zines that I've read so far, they're sort of back issues. It's a zine, but it's not only about parenting, that it's or caregiving in general. But it takes a focus specifically on dads. Mm-hmm. And what, so maybe you can talk a little bit about why the zine's called Rad Dad, right, as opposed to Rad Parent or whatever else.
Well, it's an interesting question because initially the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 years was primarily dads, and that's kind of what I wanted. It was a space for fathers to talk a little bit about how our parenting choices affect our children, our partners, the world around us, the activism that we're a part of. So then I had a couple of friends of mine actually challenging me, saying, well, you know, as a person in a queer relationship, I identify as the kind of father role. Mm-hmm. So where's the space for that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. So it really exploded the zine about halfway through its, you know, growth. Mm-hmm. So now it's open to people of all genders and relationships to children, mm-hmm. including caregivers, mm-hmm. Teachers. So it's evolved in some ways from a space that was specifically for kind of fathers to talk about mm-hmm. their choices and their struggles. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome, and it was really important, and I think I still maintain that that's kind of the main voice in it, but it, you know, at this point I welcome stories, conversations, you know, experiences from anyone.
Right. Who's doing care work?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, maybe transitioning, what sort of place do you see care work as having in political organizing, or what kind of role or place does it have in political organizing? In some respects, again, as I said, it kind of seems like an afterthought most of the time. You know, we deal with a lot of sort of fallout of political organizing, and folks look after people after a major event or, you know, sort of... major events, but it doesn't really seem to happen kind of beforehand. Right. So maybe you can talk about the place of care work in political organizing, maybe not as an afterthought, but perhaps more as a central a central focus.
My experience was that it was exhausting to try and, you know, stay involved in whatever community organizing that I was a part of and be a parent, because there wasn't a lot of infrastructure around it. Like, I had to come in and, you know, deal with, like, where my kids go during this time, when's food provided. So I think, like, the idea of creating a space that thinks about, you know, the multi-generational participation that I would like to be a part of, from young people to, you know, my mother and father who are now living here as well. So how do we create spaces where they feel welcomed, comfortable, and then it's a sustainable process so that, you know, we accomplish the goals that we want with everyone included. And actually, there's a great book that just came out. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, the Don't Leave Your Friends Behind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so she'll be here in March as well, and we'll be having an event. And it's just an amazing, that book that, it was a zine initially, and it's come out now as a book, talks about how to, you know, don't leave your friends behind. The people who that are part of our lives, we need to, whatever, wherever we're going, we need to bring everyone with us.
Right.
And create safe spaces for those people to be there.
Right. Maybe you could talk about some of the challenges that face... some of the biggest challenges that we face in radical communities in regards to parenting, mm-hmm. kids, care work, those kinds of things. As you said, there, and many times in spaces there's no place for kids. There's no place for care work. So maybe we can talk about those as challenges and kind of what.
Sure.
What could be done about that?
Well, I mean, I think it'd be nice to not have parents have to be the ones who have to bring up every issue about, like, is there child care? Is it kid-friendly space? And if it's not, then how can we create a place where people who have kids can still participate, even if they can't bring their kids along? I was just at an event, like, two nights ago, and it was a Rad Dad reading, so we had, like, a bunch of these parents here. And then the person, one of the workers at the place was, like, complaining that the kids were making noise when I had gotten on the microphone and said, at the opening of the event, like, you know, kid noises are welcome. Yeah. You know, this is adult noises, take it outside. Kid noises, let them scream and run. We have a microphone, we can read over them. And so, you know, just kind of identifying what we can do to make parents feel comfortable, because I know for me, that was one of the first things that, you know, I backed up out of a lot of situations that I was a part of, because I just didn't feel welcome. And I don't think it's intentional. Like, no one's like, oh God, you know. Well, there are people who are, oh God, kids are here, you know. Yeah. But, you know, the reality is like, how can we, because not everything we need to do has to be, you know, kid friendly. I recognize that. But just like, I think it's the responsibility of people involved to ask that question. If it isn't kid friendly, we need to make that explicit. And if it is, how can we welcome these people involved? It's like the Anarchist Book Fair, a couple parents and I set up the Child Watch like 6 years ago, and we did it the first few years. And then we just, I mean, consciously, I think we all kind of stopped because we were the ones doing it. We were the parents. Okay. And we pulled out, and an organization stepped in, and the child care has been going ever since then. Yeah. And we haven't had to be the ones to constantly organize it, do it, and try and participate in the book fair as well. So I've seen that it's been changing. I think those places have been more welcoming in some ways. And it's been nice.
Yeah.
And also, there's a lot more people having kids, it feels like.
Yeah.
Where were they 20 years ago when I was by myself? No.
I like to switch themes just a little bit and talk about maybe what kinds of conversations you see that Rad Dad provokes in or participates in as kind of a broader challenge to patriarchy in general, because I think that some of the issues that you're pointing out of not having a space that where you feel comfortable as a parent or having kids there is also part of, or people who say I'm not a parent so I don't have to deal with kids is part of a general effect of patriarchy.
Right.
And so maybe you can talk a bit about how Rad Dad participates in conversations that challenge that kind of that kind of patriarchy.
Well, there's two things that I want to bring up. One is that, like, I get that statement all the time, like, well, I don't got kids. Why would I want to look at Rad Dad? And I kind of say, well, you know, what is the relationship you have with children in your life? You were a child. Mm-hmm. You were parented. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because then it leads back into this notion that I think one of the key things that, you know, the conversations that Rad Dad provokes is about the idea of home, right? I don't want to create, you know, we talk about like social structures and patriarchy and stuff like that when it's replicated in the, you know, relationships, the intimate relationships we have in our households. And so how do I, you know, put into practice the kind of life I want to lead with my children? And it's difficult because if you, you know, if you try and create autonomous, critical thinking children, you get called on, you know, you get that stuff comes back to haunt you sometimes. Right. And so, I think for me, Rad Dad has been one of the things that have allowed me to really challenge myself in my relationships with the people in my life, the intimate relationships I have. And I think I think in some ways I've come to realize, like, that as parents, that we can become more radical. I think a lot of times we get this idea of, you know, if parenting pulls you away from these things, and you can get, you know, you get more fearful, or you get more concerned about, you know, the comforts of life and providing. And I think in some ways, it can really challenge you to become even more critical of the choices that you were making in our relationships with, you know, your partner, right. your children, yourself. Right. So it's been really productive. And then, of course, I have the friendships I've made with other fathers and other parents, I should say, has been, you know, allowed me, I think, to really grow as an individual and, you know, I think provide the role modeling for our children in some ways.
Yeah. And kind of on that note, can you talk about any other, some other projects maybe that that Rad Dad collaborates with or that you see as engaging in a similar kind of work? So what kind of other organizations do you work with? Or those relationships that you form with fathers?
It's more actually like, I feel like lately I've been gotten a lot of letters from other parents who are just starting out now, who are, you know, actually in kind of small spots in the world outside of the Bay Area or places like New York, where there is community, and I think it's easier to find your people when you're out in the world. I think, like, not in the world, but like, you know, Michigan or Colorado, where you're really struggling to find other radical parents or people who identify as radical in whatever that means. But so in some ways, I feel like the projects I'm trying to do now with Rad Dad is to create bridges. A lot of times parenting tends to be all about either babies, like newborns, and that's where all the excitement is, because then the fun wears off when they're 13 in some ways, and then to have that kind of connection, like, I survived it and you can do it. And I think that's been really the exciting thing I've come across, is people have been sending me their zines and asking for advice on how do you do a zine like Rad Dad, and I'm like, ask for help, like you do when you're parenting, right? Ask for help and it'll happen. And so I've been involved in kind of sending small pieces to support other people's writing projects, and in their own communities then they're getting together in terms of, like, parents, like childcare collectives. There's one in Providence called the Wild Child Wild Collective, which is just awesome. And it started because of Rad. That didn't start. There were lots of parents, and they were talking. And then Rad Dad came in, and we had an event there. And I realized there was like 20 parents. I'm like, why are we spending time with Rad Dad? You guys should just talk. And out of that came this, childcare collective that's really still going on, putting out a zine now. It's great. It really is inspiring.
Yeah. That's great. If folks wanted to get involved in something like this, these collaborations, who can they get in touch with and how?
That's actually, I need to get better at that issue, because I'm not the best. I mean, you can Google Rad Dad, and there's Facebook Rad Dad stuff, and so you can contact me personally. Okay. But one of the things I'm trying to do now is actually create these kind of radical family socials that we're having. We had one at the holdout, and we're gonna have one more, I think, at the end of January.
Oh, cool.
And then Vicki Law is coming in, and she did the Don't Leave Your Friends Behind, and so we'll have one at the Anarchist Book Fair. And there's also the Anarchist Book Fair, the cafe night, that they're reaching out to, having kids space and stuff like that, and having maybe a Rad Dad event there as well. So in some ways, that's what I would like to try and, if you're local, to get involved in these kind of larger community things. So it's not just about Rad Dad, the zine. It's more about, the community we want to be a part of. But if people are not in the Bay Area, I think the thing is to do, I'm always open to responding to emails, and I do all the time, or letters. But people certainly, I encourage them to create their own radical communities of parents and parent allies and where they live. But I'm also looking for people to write for the zine constantly. The new issue will be out in June.
Okay.
So we've got lots of time, but it looks kind of fun. I'm going to try and get some good interviews and some good essays that I already know people are writing, so I need more.
And if someone wanted to get in touch with you, where would they do that? What's your email address?
I'll give you that myself. Yes, it's tomas.moniz@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. So we'll post that on our website, and if you want to get involved or find out more about Rad Dad, we'll put Tomas's email on the website, and we'll also put up a couple of links to information that's out there on Rad Dad. There doesn't happen to be a website.
There is a website.
There is a website,
and it's like Rad Dad. Rad Dad zine at blog, but I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll find it. We'll put it on there. We'll find it. We'll put it on there.